fun and easy, lighthearted lessons we had going on today, right? James, in particular, is a fun book to read. We don't really know if it was James, who we hear about in the Gospels, who wrote it, but we think maybe somewhere along the line someone thought that, so we keep calling it the letter of James. But he's writing to this church that is clearly in trouble, because most of the letters were that way, but also listening to what is said even just this morning, you begin to understand that the people being addressed have forgotten some things. James calls it the royal law. We know it better as the Great Commandment, part two of the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment, of course, starts with love your God. And then the second part is what James quotes, love your neighbor. And apparently this church needed a reminder. I have those days. Usually I try not to leave my house too much on those days anymore, but we all have those days where we need a reminder. This church was having more than one of those days. They were having really big problems, we assume. And James writes to remind them that it's not enough just to go to church or to say you believe, but this love that Jesus talked about, the love we must have for God and for one another, is supposed to be transformative. That it is to change not just what we do on Sunday mornings, but how we act throughout the week. If you want to read something a little abrasive, go home and read the rest of the letter of James, and you begin to understand why the church has always struggled with it. Because it's important, James tells these people, to do things well, to do things faithfully. It's not enough to go to church and recite your prayers and say the creeds. But if what you do on Sunday morning ends Sunday morning after you leave church, you have some hard questions to answer. It's not a comfortable book to read. It's great fun to read if you remember all the church reformers who weren't too sure about it. Spends a little too much time on works and not enough on faith for them. But they miss what the Syrophoenician woman knows in the gospel this morning. That Syrophoenician woman who was, we are told, a Gentile. And we're not too sure where she stands on that whole faith in the Jewish God, as it would have been understood back then, or Jesus, except for this. We read about her this morning. We hear a tiny portion of her struggle with her daughter who is possessed, and we have this great exchange between this woman, who is unnamed, of course, and Jesus. She's come to seek healing for her daughter in what I can only imagine is one of those last-ditch, desperate parent things that we do for our children and those we love. And Jesus looks at her and says, "You weren't who I was sent to." Every time people get too hung up on Jesus being a good and great and overly compassionate person, I like to remind them of this story. It's not one of his better moments, I think. He says, "You weren't who I was sent to. Why should I help you?" Imagine for a minute that you've left your sick child and traveled quite some distance, because remember, back then they didn't have things like cars. This wasn't a day trip for her. To seek the one person who everyone has told you can, in fact, heal anyone. And you get there, you finally reach them, and they send you away. But she was desperate, and it was her daughter. So she looks at Jesus and she says, "You're wrong. Even the dogs get to eat the scraps from the children." And Jesus, I think, I like to imagine in my mind that Jesus is slightly caught off guard. Because remember, women back then weren't supposed to say things like this, not if they were a good and upstanding woman. And Jesus changes his mind. The daughter is healed, and her mother can go home and plan a better life for both of them. The Syro-Phoenician woman knew that faith is connected to what we do, and that standard applies even to God. And her daughter was healed. The people James's letter is writing to need this reminder. We often need this reminder. It's easier to come to church on Sunday and then generally forget what I have said for the rest of the week, forget what the readings were, forget how to incorporate that struggle with what you have heard into your life. It isn't easy, but as James goes on to say, faith without works is dead. If you are a faithful person, if your faith is active and alive, and I know that yours is, that faith is seen in so much more than where you are on Sunday morning. It is seen in how we treat our friends and our family and our neighbors. It is seen in the lengths we will go to for those we love. Because love is transformative. Amen.